Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, episode number 128.
We are moving.
I'm Nick, alongside Emily.
Hello.
Emily, how you doing over there today?
I'm thriving. It's been a week from hell, but you know what makes this week better? Watching a fucking weird episode of WCW.
Yeah, we are coming fresh off Emily finishing the episode.
Yeah, literally, I finished the episode about 20, 30 minutes ago.
I just told her, save that rage.
The problem is, like, it wasn't a bad episode up until the ending. It wasn't.
It's a strange one, for sure.
We'll get to it. How are you doing, Nick? I feel like I never ask you that.
I'm doing fine.
How has your life been in the last week or so since we've recorded?
I'm employed.
That's something.
Yeah.
That's a pro. Luckily, we are both still employed. That's a pro that a lot of people cannot say. So I'll take it.
Yeah, if we start really being like, please, 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 buy our Patreon, it means
one of us got laid off.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God, give me $5 a month.
That said, right before we sat down to record this, yes. We discovered something that we will be reviewing for Patreon soon.
Can I say it?
Yes.
So we discovered that the entirety of All Aboard the Lex Express is available on YouTube.
Yes.
For free! Thanks, WWE Vault! I'm so hyped. So we're gonna 100% be doing that on the Patreon. I don't know when, because we have other stuff scheduled, but it will happen on the Patreon soon.
For the record, I have shown Emily the body slam challenge.
Yeah.
I think we turned it off after that.
Yeah,
she's
probably
not ready for 10 minutes of bus footage.
I'm hype, though.
Uninterrupted.
He's gonna slam Yokozuna, though.
Yeah, and then there's 2 more hours to the video. That's what I'm saying, Emily. There's still 2 hours after that.
Guess we're gonna find out. Because this is on an aircraft carrier, right? I'm not making that up.
Yeah, that one bit. It's on the USS Intrepid.
Okay, well, that's what I'm hyped for.
Again.
Get big man on a boat. Although my dad gets really mad when I call aircraft carriers boats. So, get that man on a ship. There's a difference, I guess.
Well, today we're here to talk about the September 4th, 2000 WCW Nitro. It is Nitro's 5th year anniversary.
And we're going to hear about that about 17 times through the broadcast.
Yeah, they're so excited for year 6 of Nitro. And I'm like,
it's going to be the best year yet, right, guys? Guys?
We are live from Dallas, Texas. And this show did a 3.2 to Raw's 5.8.
That doesn't seem like that big of a gap.
Yeah.
In the past, it's been way bigger.
Yep. And that's also because Raw was preempted this week. And so Raw did a 5.8 2 hours later, airing at 11 p.m. Eastern time, and Nitro was unopposed.
Even so, I feel like unopposed, there has been a bigger gap.
Oh, yeah.
So there's something there.
I think next week is the last time they do a 3 until the last episode of just that Curiosity Watch.
Okay.
So I actually do have some backstage notes this time. It's nice.
Oh, tell me more.
For the last few weeks, it hasn't been anything.
Yeah, it's been very minimal, or you've had like your thunder reports.
I do have the weather report as well, but Eric Bischoff at this time is in talks to purchase WCW.
That seems like a great idea. Why wouldn't he do that?
I don't even think this is with Fusion. I think this is a different group.
Yeah, I've only just recently learned about Fusion.
Apparently, all three big companies are reaching out and trying to put together a match for Sue Hawk and Kelly Wigglesworth from Survivor.
Huh?
I don't know. They got beef, apparently. I was kind of counting on you knowing about this.
I have never watched Survivor. I don't know anything about Survivor, but the fact that there is a woman named Kelly Wigglesworth, I'm interested.
It might be Wigglesworth, but it...
It's Wigglesworth, please.
W-I-G-L-E-S Worth.
Yeah, that's Wigglesworth. No, it's been on my like list to go back and watch some episodes of Survivor, or some seasons. There's 40 seasons, maybe more than 40. I can't watch them all.
Yeah.
As someone who has watched 26 seasons of Big Brother, I can't watch 40 seasons of Survivor. Come on.
Yeah, and how many times have you rewatched all the seasons?
Hey, shut up.
Yeah, this match doesn't end up happening. To my knowledge, the only Survivor player who goes on to wrestle is Jenna Maraska, and less said about that, the better.
Maybe this summer I'll plow through some Survivor while Big Brother is happening.
I have an update on the being late fines in WCW. Kevin Nash has been fined twice.
Okay.
Ray Hoovy and Conan have all been fined twice. They probably ride together, so that makes sense. And Kidman has been fined once. Nash has now been granted a 1 hour grace period upon being fined.
Why?
And then showed up late to the next Thunder.
So he was fined.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Scott Hall is actually almost cleared now. So this whole time, like, bring him back, he's not been cleared.
Oh.
Because he had, like, surgery.
Oh. Did we know he was having surgery?
We talked about it, like, briefly when he left, because he left because he got hurt, so they couldn't actually fire him.
Okay. So now that he is cleared, now they can fire him.
Yeah.
Okay.
From last week, Turner higher-ups nixed an angle where Goldberg would be dragged by a truck in the desert. That was what the original ending to that. Apparently, it is way too similar to a, like, national news hate crime that just happened at the time.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And Russo's like, what the fuck, bro? Why are you censoring me?
You know, I'm just going to let it go. You know?
Goldberg and Evan Courageous got into a fight backstage.
Who won?
The story, as I know it, and there's a lot of YouTube videos talking about it, is, you know, in wrestling, the whole, all right, you got to shake everyone's fucking hand every goddamn second thing.
Yeah, the respect or whatever.
So Evan Courageous is going around, and Goldberg had his hand, like, down his pants, like, grabbing his dick. And Evan Courageous is like, okay, you know, I'm good. And Goldberg took this as a sign of disrespect and then fucking, like, started choking Evan Courageous.
No, I'm on Evan's side.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Apparently, I've not seen it, but apparently ICP have a great shoot interview about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God.
I forget if it's this Nitro or the next Nitro where, as a, like, apology, they're like, all right, you're going to, like, beat Chronic, and it just doesn't happen. I think this show where it absolutely doesn't happen, or, like, next week they're going to win by, like, count out or something.
Oh, jeez.
In one of those notes, I just, like, oh, that's weird that, like, this has just kind of gotten swept under the rug during all this. A WWF-WCW lawsuit was settled, and part of the terms were that WWF would have the right of first refusal to bid on WCW assets if the company were ever to sell or go out of business.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then over in OVW, Leviathan is getting quite a big push. You know him as Batista.
Ah, I was wondering, like, who is Leviathan?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. That's early. Earlier than I thought.
I mean, he shows up in 2002, so.
Is it 2002? In my head, it was 2004.
Yeah, he's Deacon Batista.
Yes, because he's with the Dudleys.
Only one of them, but yes.
Brother Devon.
Yes.
Yes.
And then, yeah, he shows up on Raw by the end there and is just, like, regular Batista.
It was Brother Devon and Deacon Batista? Well, that was his name?
Yes.
It wasn't Deacon Dave? Come on. It's right there. His name is Dave.
Admittedly, I don't know that he was Brother Devon. Because that's what he is in TNA.
Oh. But he was doing the, like, pastor testify. Oh, yeah.
He was Reverend Devon. That's what
Reverend.
It was. No, yeah, we just merged that.
We're watching too many things with the same people.
Well, in that similar vein, Emily, it's time for a weather report where there's always thunder.
Hit me with that thunder. I guess I should say hit me with that lightning because you can't get hit by thunder.
So in the opening segment, Major Guns is forced to wear a Canadian t-shirt, rips it off to reveal a USA bikini top. War Games Russo's Revenge is announced for Nitro.
Ugh.
They start teasing that Ric Flair will be at David's wedding on the 11th.
Yeah, it's his son's wedding. He should be there in Charlotte.
We got a backstage Finlay sighting.
Finlay!
I think he's just like an agent or something now. He's just like breaking up a fight.
Yeah.
Reno beat up Ozzy, who is Daphne's boyfriend. It's the same guy from At Least the Last Thunder.
Ozzy.
I think he just like saw the wrong guy or whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
Nature. Also, like they didn't highlight whoever it was.
Nope. I cannot keep Reno's name straight in my head. He's Rocco in my notes sometimes. Then I remember he's Reno. It flip-flops. I know it's an R and it ends in an O.
They haven't really progressed the whatever family business thing with him and Vito.
Because I keep forgetting that he's also Italian. Like, to me, Rocco, Reno. Reno looks very, like, Native American. And maybe it's just because I'm thinking of Reno, Nevada, which is a very, like, Native American state. Not Italian. Definitely doesn't give me Italian vibes.
We got a sit-down interview with Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff.
Yes.
Because he's running the power plant. He's like, I'm very proud to be doing that. And he's like surprised to hear the Natural Born Thrillers have been talking shit. And I'm like, do you not watch the product?
No, 100% he does not watch the product.
And he gets like pissed off at them being ungrateful. And Tony Schiavone's like, bro, everyone knows they hate you. Like, it's kind of like, you didn't know?
Ooh, I'm so sorry to be the one to tell you this.
And then in the arena during the pre-tape interview, the Natural Born Thrillers come out with anti-Orndorff signs. And one of them is, aren't you dead yet?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. A little more on that in a second. But first, Leia Meow disciplines the young dragons by threatening to make them lick her boots. But if they win, she'll lick theirs. What?
How is this discipline?
She's wearing like a dominatrix getup too.
Oh, okay, this is a kink thing. Got it.
Sean Stasiak does an arm wrestling open challenge. Paul Orndorff accepts, almost beats Stasiak. And instead of like beating him, he just punches Stasiak and then just cleans house on the Natural Born Thrillers.
Great.
And then our weird main event was the Cat calling out Kevin Nash, ends up getting beat down by Nash, Jarrett, and Steiner. Miss Jones pushes Jarrett, so he hits her with a guitar, and it's a pre-taped show, but they, like, deliberately use an angle where you don't actually see her get hit.
Oh.
Because we see the angle on Nitro.
Yeah.
And I'm like, was this a censorship thing? Because one's on TNT, one's on TBS.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe they just couldn't. But that's a weird censorship thing. Or, like, they couldn't show violence against a woman?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Huh. But additionally, commentary's reaction is, oh, he just hit Mrs. Jones. They are not outraged about Jarrett killing Miss.
Yeah.
There's like no reaction or fervor or anything that I'm like, really, guys? Just, okay.
Weird.
We're just going through the motions now, aren't we?
Yeah. I don't know, man. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm literally like sitting here trying to figure out like why that would be censored as opposed to, I don't know. I'm thinking about it too much.
I didn't mention it. There was actually a decent match of Filthy Animals versus Natural Born Thrillers. Like, that's a good duo for, like, them to kind of learn. Just as long as Conan's not on commentary fucking burying everybody.
Was he?
I forget.
Oh, God.
That happens when I take just brief notes for that show and not the super in-depth ones we do for this show.
Fair.
But, Emily, with that, would you like to get into this main show?
I suppose we should, because this is a mess of an episode.
Yeah, as given away the title of this episode, this is the infamous Russo's Revenge War Games 2000 episode.
War Games, but not War Games, but kind of War Games. It's the triple cage thing.
Yes, which is not War Games.
It's not War Games.
Yeah, let's just open with that. I realized we have not reviewed a War Games match on the podcast.
No.
Because they just had kind of gotten rid of it by 99. Because the 98 one went so badly. They're like, oh, it's not. But yeah, so this is the first time ever that War Games will be on free TV. And I guess technically the only time. And then it's also the only time it's been for a title. Because that's not how War Games works. We'll get into that more once it's re-announced on this show.
This whole match makes no... I had to rewatch the segment where they announced it a couple of times because it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
But on the main show, we start with a video package for Russo's Revenge. It's Team Fake NWO, Scott Steiner, Jeff Jarrett, Kevin Nash, and Vince Russo.
Sure.
Against The Cat, Sting, Booker T, and Goldberg. And it's for the title. I'm like, oh, okay. We see the triple cage being built starting at 4 in the morning. I was like, oh my God.
Do you actually believe that as somebody who has like worked in these kinds of arenas?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, depending on what was there the night before or whatever, I mean, that cage probably takes a lot of extra time to build. And the call time for those, you know, it's not late.
No, true.
Because you got to do the whole lighting rig. You got to do the stage. You got to do the ring. I mean, it's usually different groups that got to do it. But still, it just takes a little while to make sure everything's right.
I don't know that it was worth all that extra time. For this match.
We then get the fake NWO arriving, and then we get the Nitro intro, and like they've actually updated it.
I was going to say, is this a new intro?
It felt long.
It was very long.
No opening pyro, though.
No. We got to cut the budget somewhere.
We go right into our opening match. It is the Insane Clown Posse versus the Filthy Animals. I'm like, Insane Clown Posse are getting a title shot?
Wait, Nick, ask me who are the two people from the Insane Clown Posse.
Who are the two people from the Insane Clown Posse?
Shaggy Too Dope and Violent J.
Actually, Violent K.
Fuck you. I remembered. I wrote them down, but I remember.
On commentary, we have Tony Schiavone, Mark Madden, and a bald Jeremy Borash.
Yeah, we do get some context on why Jeremy Borash is bald, but honestly, I didn't recognize him. I didn't recognize him in the segment where it showed who he was. Like, he is nothing to me. I'm sorry.
I know. He's a lot bigger in early days, TNA.
I'm sure.
Before they had Christy Hemme in early interviews.
He was TNA.
Yeah, he's still in TNA.
Jesus Christ.
Well, in 2010 when we're watching.
Again, we're watching too many things. And I was like, I know the name Jeremy Borash. I know this is someone I should remember, but you don't ring true in my brain right now. TNA. He's not in WCW. He's fucking TNA.
Well, we've also seen him get beat up by Tech Abbott.
But like WCW. A long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would more recent memory, I would know him from TNA.
Yes.
God. Oh, we watch too much wrestling.
Yeah, because he's the backstage interviewer and like also ring announcer for TNA.
Right.
So yeah, Scott Hudson's not here again this week because like his wife's in labor. I'm like, wait,
wasn't that the excuse last week?
Yeah.
Has this just been like a week-long labor? If so, I'm so sorry for this
and
woman.
And we see evidence of him being here earlier today, later in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, so?
Huh.
I don't know. But Jeremy Borash is bald here because apparently he lost a ratings bet. And they flat out say it's because he lost the ratings bet.
Yeah. We're not hiding anything behind the curtain anymore. He and Vince Russo had a bet on the ratings, and the loser had to get their head shaved. So we do later get a clip of all of the Nitro girls shaving Jeremy's head.
So the real question is, what was the bet and who thought it was going to do better or worse?
Yeah, right? I feel like Russo overshot.
I want to believe in my heart that it was the other way, and... It was for the women's triple threat.
Oh.
But anyway, we have a match. The fucking horns on Rey Mysterio.
They're bad.
Conan grabs a mic, does his promo. The ICP start an offense and whip Hoovy and Rey into each other. Rey and Hoovy come back with a springboard dropkick and moonsault. Hoovy vaults Rey into a dropkick on Shaggy, and the two vault to the floor. Shaggy counters a dive with a dropkick and tags in Violent J. Shaggy holds Hoovy, but it's the one thing they didn't want to happen, and Jay hits Shaggy. Hoovy hits a wheelbarrow bulldog, and Rey hits a springboard leg drop. On commentary, we get Conan referencing Richard Gere again, because he only has three jokes.
The gerbils, my God.
Him and Richard Gere just reminds me of fucking... There's a segment with Road Dogg in TNA where they crash a like WWE like promo shoot, and he makes the same mahi-mahi joke like 8 times, because... He's seeing different people, so it's fresh for them.
Oh, sure. But
they show him telling it, like, every fucking time, and I'm like...
Yikes.
Shut the fuck up. The Filthy Animals hit Poetry in Motion, and Rey hits a Bronco Buster. Not a face full of stuff. Only when it's Tigress.
Correct.
Violent J clotheslines Rey, and Hoovy is sent to the floor. J hits a big press slam on Rey and goes for it again, but Hoovy hits a springboard dropkick with Rey landing on Violent J. Conan was funny on commentary here, though, because he's like, Ray's like 100 pounds. Of course he can press slam him.
Yeah, he's not a dense man.
Rey and Hoovy hit a sandwiching dropkick and do their version of a what's up for the win.
What is up?
Yeah, their version has a leg drop to the groin as opposed to the
headbutt.
Headbutt, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So Rey and Hoovy win, and before they can even fully announce the winner, we're cutting away.
This was a good match, though. I actually really enjoyed this. I think that Rey and Hoovy are a good tag team together, and they were, like, showcasing some jumpy lucha stuff. ICP, not so much with the skill, but it was entertaining as hell. I don't know.
I wrote, ICP are limited, so they kind of just let Rey and Hoovy do cool moves around them.
I mean, yeah. It's true. But Hoovy and Rey looked really good doing it.
Yeah, I mean, credit to ICP for not trying to fucking big dog it when it's like, oh no, we're big deals. Because I know they have a little bit of an attitude problem, but like...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just your face is in Rey Mysterio and Juventud Guerrero. Just go out there, put on something decent.
But exactly. Yeah, they will make it look good.
Yeah, I liked this.
I thought it was fun.
It made me forget the logic of why the fuck are they getting a tag title shot.
Hey, don't question good things, you know?
I think there's also the element of, if the tag champs are going to win, why not put the titles in the line?
Right, yeah.
Let's go... I guess backstage. I don't really know to where. We go to a gym.
Yeah, they make it seem like it's backstage.
Pamela Paulshock is with Team Canada, now with Major Guns.
So Elix Skipper and Lance Storm are in this like built-up gym sort of thing in the back, and Major Guns is on the treadmill behind them while Lance Storm and Elix Skipper are talking to Pamela Pumpkins.
Storm says Guns has to prove her worth and has her running on a treadmill to become a world-class athlete like all Canadians are.
The thing that bothered me with this is as they were talking, Major Guns was running and whatever. And then they turn to her and they're like, faster, go faster. It's a treadmill. You have to turn the speed up. No one pushed a button.
Yeah, Ilya Skipper is just staring at her chest this whole time. And later.
It's more obvious in the next segment, not so much here. Because he's like blocked by Lance Storm this entire time.
Pamela Pumpkins with the, I don't know about all this, but I'll keep you guys posted.
She seems very concerned. The poor girl's on a treadmill. Nah, I don't know.
She's a prisoner of war per the match last week.
That's true. Could this be categorized as torture?
I don't know.
Are we breaking the like Geneva Convention?
We then get Booker T, the Cat, and Miss Jones in a neck brace getting into a limo, aka getting ready for their War Games match.
Sure.
The cage starts to lower, much to Tony's confusion, and we
Mine
go to commercial.
Too. Yeah. I mean, why is the cage lowering unless we're doing this match right now? Which I guess could, but second match in? That feels weird.
No, instead, back in commercial, Vince Russo and the Natural Born Thrillers come out to the ring surrounded by the triple cage.
Did you see the sign in the audience in reference to the Natural Born Killers?
Thrillers, but go on.
Sorry, Thrillers. It said Natural Born Spares. I was like, damn, that is ruthless.
Kill the spare.
But the fact, Natural Born Spares, it's like not even your parents wanted you. You're just here just in case.
So I'm trying to remember all the times we've seen the triple cage. We saw it in Ready to Rumble. Mm-hmm. We saw it at Slamboree. Did they do another one of those matches?
Is the one at Slamboree the one with like everybody's trying not to fall through it?
No, that's uncensored. That's a different triple decker cage.
Different triple decker cage.
Slamboree is the one with David Arquette.
Okay, I feel like I'm merging.
I guess
all of them.
So is the Ready to Rumble one. But
I think I'm just merging.
One's
them.
A movie. One is.
Well, I know the movie.
Yeah. One was actually a match.
Yeah, the one I was thinking of had like Arn and Ric Flair. And,
yes,
like,
that
Hulk
is uncensored '96.
Yeah.
That is the Doomsday Cage.
Oh,
please,
sorry.
Emily.
Different triple cage.
Yeah, I guess it's not been seen since Slamboree. In my brain, it like showed up somewhere, but it may not have been a match. It may have just been like an end of the episode segment kind of thing. But
maybe.
Who knows? Vince Russo has on a custom New Jersey Devils jersey with his name on the back, and he leaves the Natural Born Thrillers right outside the cage.
The door like gets stuck as he's trying to get in the cage, though, so he very much has to make an effort to leave the Natural Born Thrillers out.
Kind of remember that they're there.
Yeah.
Russo shits on the Dallas Cowboys because they lost big the day before. Mark Madden makes a Michael Irvin cocaine joke because, yeah, he's a classy guy.
Sure. I don't think I realized that was a cocaine joke.
Yeah. Russo says he's here to talk about War Games 2000. Essentially, the goal of this 4-on-4 match is for one man to grab the title from the top and carry it out the door.
Yes.
We will go back and forth throughout the night, whether or not commentary is like, oh, there's teams. There's no teams.
Right. And the teams also that come up in this promo kind of, are they a team or are they not a team? Like, yeah. I'm confused.
I was ready for you to be confused and or annoyed at Vince Russo deeming his team the baby faces.
No, I did not get confused. He was using a lot of insider terms. So he has a team of the baby faces and a team of the heels. And he says that. So he's just being Russo where it's like, oh, insider lingo.
And it's backwards. So it's like,
Yeah. No, it did not confuse me what he was going for. I got that.
Russo says that there is an injunction on the Cat's powers, so he can't do anything tonight.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I called my lawyers, and the Cat has no power. Like, okay.
So all the quote-unquote heels must now wrestle qualifying matches for the main event.
But the thing is, which is confusing to me, he names who are in the heel team. He names them.
Yeah.
He's like, but they're not in the match yet. So
yes.
There's this 4-on-4, but this 4... might not be this 4 because now they have to go wrestle another match, so it might be this 4 but it might not be this 4.
Yeah.
Like, then why did you fucking name them?
Yes, he is also giving 4 people he does not want to become champion a title match.
Right.
And
right.
Putting them all together.
But making up this bullshit like, oh, but you have to qualify. Like, what is the point of naming the heel team if they're not confirmed to be in the match? What is the plan here, Russo? What are we doing, gang? Like, what's going on? That's the part that made me have to rewatch the segment, because I'm like, wait, I thought these were set teams, but they have to qualify?
Russo also notes that if Goldberg makes it to the main event, which he won't,
oh my God.
I will waive the no physicality, clause in the contract.
For one night only.
Mark Madden completely misses this, and it will come up later. He makes a big deal out of it, and then...
Mark Madden's not here, mentally. He's not paying attention to anything.
Russo then says he guarantees he'll be walking out champion tonight because he's got the jack. What?
Huh?
The what?
The jack? What is the jack? Regardless.
I really... I pondered for a good long while on what the fuck he was going for, and I have no idea.
Well, this gets followed up by another line that makes me go, huh? Because, of course, Kevin Nash hears that Russo's walking out as champion. He's like, hold the fucking phone. No, you're not taking my title. Dun, 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 dun. He comes down.
Yes, he comes out with no belt because it's already above the ring.
Right.
Nash confronts Russo and doesn't want his title on the line tonight. I'm not a fighting champion. I will defend it on the 29th day at 11:59 p.m.
Yeah, if I want to. But then he says to Russo, you know, in this company, you're the boss, but in the ring, I'm your daddy.
Yeah.
Huh? Pardon?
Is Big Daddy cool?
The way he puts some stake on Daddy, like, this is a king. This is something. Or this is a bet that you put backstage. This was a dare. Like,
it's a ratings bet.
What the fuck? I'm your daddy?
And then to add to it, Nash just chokes Russo. And, like, for some reason, Sting's music hits?
Yeah.
Why did Sting interrupt this?
I don't know.
Sting climbs out of a hole in the corner of the ring.
He just emerges out of the ring. This is fucking chaos already. I don't know what's happening.
The Natural Born Thrillers give no...
They don't give a
fucks about this.
They're like, oh, there he is.
Russo tells Nash to kick Sting's ass and pushes him, so Nash flips him off, goes, fuck you! And
yeah,
just offers Russo to Sting. Sting instead grabs a mic, says he's going to qualify and become champion because, and then does a weird stuttering bit for the night and says it's showtime.
Yeah, Sting is doing a Bubba Ray Dudley bit. I don't understand where this is coming from.
Russo cowers in the corner. Sting then goes after Russo, who climbs the cage. The Natural Born Thrillers and Scott Steiner and Jeff Jarrett finally come out to help. The Thrillers take down the ladder that Russo climbed once Steiner, Jarrett, Russo, and Sting are on the second level. Booker and Kat come out, and they brawl with the Natural Born Thrillers. Russo climbs up and down the cage as Sting just kind of chases. Russo climbs down the side of the cage via the truss to the floor, and then Goldberg's music hits, and Russo just sprints away, despite the fact that Goldberg can't touch him at this point.
Right.
And we cut away as Sting is just stuck on the top level, it feels like.
Sting is just, like, hanging out up there. Goldberg just came out just to show face, and he's turning around and leaving. What?
I was ready for so much stalling, because I'm like, one, you have to patch the fucking hole in the corner of the ring that Sting did.
He emerged out and of.
And two, you have to get everyone down before you can raise the cage.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I wrote here, I have a hunch they're going for the swerve, we're all still actually together.
Oh, did you actually write that down?
Yep.
Spoilers.
Everyone did bring a good energy to the segment. Like,
oh, 100%.
Look, it may have been confusing at points, but it wasn't dull.
No, it was not dull, and that is a very good key point to make.
And I think that's the big thing on this show, is that a lot of bits are confusing and dumb, but none of it's dull.
None of it is boring.
I am sports entertained throughout most of it.
And that's the goal, I guess. Taking notes for it makes it a nightmare, but I guess if you're entertained. I did appreciate Nash being like, yo, what the fuck? Like, what do you mean you're going for my title? It's my title. I thought we were buds.
It does make no sense for the title to be a lie. I guess technically if Russo wants it, then there is, but...
And, you know, it honestly got me a little bit, because I know you've said that Russo wins the title again at some point. So I'm like, fuck, is this how this happens? I don't know. So it made sense for this to be a thing.
For what it's worth, you said wins it again. He has not won the title yet.
Oh, you're right. Fuck.
Eric Bischoff won the hardcore title. That's the only authority figure winning it. And then gave it to Vito?
But Russo does win it eventually.
Yeah, totally.
Don't do that to me.
Will he have like a fucking month left to him?
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. So it has to happen soon, right?
Yeah, less than a month. The October 2nd, 2000 Nitro.
Is his last one?
Yep.
Wow.
Episode 133.
Wow. We should take a shot for that one, too.
You're just trying to do shots for all the episodes.
I'm getting to a point where I'm starting to feel like we need it. I need it, at least.
We'll see what happens after that.
Listen, I know we said we're cutting back drinking, but like every time I watch one of these episodes, I'm like, damn, I need a drink. I'm being good. I'm drinking a Celsius while we're recording this.
Back from commercial, we recap the last segment to buy some time. In Russo's office, he, Jarrett, and Steiner argue about Nash. We then get Tony Schiavone formally introducing Jeremy Borash as we see him getting his head shaved by the Nitro girls in a recap.
And this is like a WCW.com live thing?
Yeah, he's running...
live streaming?
So he's running like the internet show. It's... I don't know if it's live commentary or what. It's always been a weird thing.
It's 2000. I don't think live streaming's a thing.
I don't know if you remember. Early on, we often got the WCW.com interviews where we'd see 10 seconds of it and have someone be cut off mid-sentence.
Yes.
Our last appearance of Chris Jericho was him with them. Yeah. So I don't know what's up with all that, but they're doing something.
I guess that's where the Nitro Girls have gone to die.
No, they've gone to commercial breaks.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, Jerry Brush gets his head shaved by the Nitro Girls and Scott Hudson, and it was a ratings bet. Yeah. That's it. Jeremy Borash has a very distinct voice once you know him enough, and I kind of like him on commentary. He's not bad, but...
He didn't stand out, but I feel like that's a good thing.
Commentary speculates who will be in the qualifying matches, because we have 5 matches announced for the rest of the show, and I'm trying to think, do we get any other matches?
No, I don't think so.
However, they are interrupted by the Harris Brothers music, and the Harris Brothers explain they shot a home video and have to threaten the commentators to have it played because they brought it to the truck and they didn't want to play it, so...
And it feels like they are really trying to, force production to play it, because Tony Schiavone has to, look dead in the camera and be like, play the tape, play it, hey.
I think that's more Tony Schiavone going, I don't want to improv, just go to the fucking bit. You did note one of the Harris Brothers had a...
very ironic t-shirt.
Had a tattoo parlor t-shirt, and you're like, do you want to advertise that?
Yeah, one of them was walking out with a t-shirt that was advertising, I guess, a local tattoo shop, or maybe one that they had utilized, with their full name and store phone number on it. So my first thought was, yikes, is that the kind of clientele that tattoo shop wants? Or is that the kind of clientele this tattoo shop wants? And we should be calling this phone number many, many times.
I mean, look, it was probably a nice surprise plug for them. I assume they did not see that coming.
Oh, wow.
That said, we have no idea if the shop did those tattoos.
We have absolutely no idea of knowing that. And also, no way.
Also why we didn't bother noting the name.
Or the phone number, but it's out there.
So... The video they played is a trap they set for...
it a trap?
I don't know, because...
It was an ambush.
Yeah, they're like, Chronic said they're at the gym, but they're actually at this bar. That's fine. Okay. What does it fucking matter?
Mind your own fucking business, Nazis.
So they sneak attack Chronic at this random bar.
Would you say they Pearl Harbored them?
From the front?
World War II.
God. So... No one in the bar reacts at all. Clearly everyone was prepped hey, we're going to do a thing, and no one bothered to fucking act. It's just, people drunk at noon on a Monday who don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they're just playing pool.
It's no friendly tap. I think they break one stool, and I'm like, you brought that. They did not have clearance to smash anything up.
God, no. This is a weird kind of bar, too. It looked like it was in a strip mall almost. Or not a strip mall,
I got one of those, random on the side of the highway vibes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But this was stupid. This made no sense. Why did we do this?
I mean, it's meant to further the feud between Chronic and Harris Brothers, but, I feel like this just could have been it for the night.
Yeah, this could have been it.
Yeah, but no, they really feel the need to keep going.
But you were right, though. Obviously, all of this was happening so that they could patch the hole in the ring, because we haven't really gone to the ring.
Yeah. Which... I'm trying to figure out, did they patch the ring twice? Because I didn't really make note of the ring in our next bit, but later on I'm like, it looks a little more obvious that they taped it or something.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, actually, our next bit is Shane Douglas complaining to Vince Russo and says he wants Goldberg tonight. And Russo points out, Goldberg will kill you.
You want him one-on-one? That's a terrible idea.
Well, and Douglas I don't want him one-on-one. No, I got a bunch of backup.
And Tori's no!
Well... And, who's the backup?
The Natural Born Thrillers.
The Natural Born Thrillers appear from a random corner of the office, and Russo's, surprised to see them. Where did they come from?
There's, 5 of them. How did you not notice they were there? 5 big guys.
But, yeah, Tori's these guys fucking suck. No.
No, you can do it on your own, actually.
They literally fuck up everything you've told them to do. Yes. No. Tori wants it to be one-on-one. Russo agrees the one-on-one, and then once they leave, tells the Thrillers to watch Douglas's back.
Honestly, I kind of respect Russo for that, because he's like, you're going to get killed by this guy. You shouldn't do this one-on-one. No, I'm going to make him do it one-on-one. Okay, sure, have a one-on-one. Make sure he doesn't die.
Emily, you say that, Russo cares what fucking Shane Douglas thinks.
I know that. Okay, I'm just thinking, like, fuck, I'm trying to give him any kind of redeeming quality, okay? I'm trying here.
Yeah, the only problem with that is you've advertised a match that just goes, all right, wait for the interference because the match won't end until then.
Yeah, I know. You know, I'm trying to humanize Vince Russo.
Let's go to our first qualifying match, which I was a little unclear about exactly what that meant. Because it is Sting versus, when they come out, a vague concept of Vampiro and or the Great Muta.
When they came out, I thought this was Sting versus Vampiro with Muta on the side.
So did I.
That is not what happened.
Because I'm like, all right, so if Vampiro and Muta win, are they in the match?
Together?
Like, commentary doesn't even bother to explore that option. Because additionally, Sting falls the numbers game for a second, but then sends Vampiro to the floor, hits a running bulldog, Vampiro hits a diving axe handle, holds Sting for the mist. It's the one thing they didn't want to happen. Muta vs. Vampiro. Sting dropkicks Muta, hits a Stinger Splash and Scorpion Death Drop for the win. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, 80 seconds maybe?
But again, not bad in-ring work.
Sting moves on, and then Vampiro and Muta argue and shove each other, but ICP comes out to break it up. I'm like, okay.
No, again, the wrestling in this show isn't terrible. I've seen significantly worse.
You are jobbing out the Great Muta.
Yeah, well,
like, Vampiro is Vampiro at this point.
Yeah.
He has taken the role of the demon Dale Torborg.
Yeah, maybe he'll leave too.
No Dale, no Tank.
You're right. Thank God. There are tiny blessings in this world.
I'm just doing better about looking into when people are done.
Yes.
The other problem is, I'll tell you that this is the last match of somebody, and then they'll randomly appear in multiple main events and segments, and you'll go, I thought we were done. And I'm like, well, we are done.
But we're not, because they keep appearing. Spoilers.
Backstage in that gym, Pamela is still with Team Canada. Storm is pushing guns to her limit. And
she's doing like a weights machine.
Yeah, Ilya Skipper still just kind of ogles her. And then, I forget what the line was, but apparently he's also dumb because he misuses a word.
Oh, I can't remember what it is either.
Yeah, but now we're setting up that he's dumb too. It's like, okay, good.
But Landstorm reiterates that she needs to do all this in order to be Canadian.
She might lose her chance.
Right. But to which she goes, I don't want to be Canadian.
It was big, but I don't want to be a pirate vibes.
I don't want to wear the puffy shirt.
Yeah, which I appreciate them acknowledging the kind of plot hole, but you need to explain it then. You can't just go, here's this plot hole, gang.
I don't want to be a Canadian. Too bad.
We'll see that group one more time. Backstage, Stevie Ray is arguing with Russo, and he's mad that he's wrestling someone. They go to great lengths to not say who he's facing.
Russo also mentioned some Wednesday night gig that Stevie has. Is that Thunder?
He's doing commentary on Thunder.
Oh, he's doing commentary?
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever mentioned that.
I mentioned it once, just like it doesn't come up all...
Yeah, it's probably not very good.
It's not. But yeah, so he's sitting there doing commentary, so he's like, yeah, I'll take away your cushy kind of, you know, commentary gig. But they kept saying, you gotta fight him, or whatever, and I'm like, okay, the only dramatic reveal left, because frankly, the only qualifying matches are Booker and the Cat.
Right.
So, I don't feel like him versus the Cat is this big drama piece that they wanted to be. So, it's gotta be Booker.
Yeah.
If you put, I know they don't want you to think about it, but if you actually put any thought to it, it's like, okay, it's Booker.
That's true, yeah.
Russo says Stevie might become champion tonight, and
that's funny.
That's when I realized, I'm like, oh, so if Vampiro and Muta won, they'd be in the match.
Yeah, and if Stevie wins against Booker, Stevie's in the match.
Yes.
So why did we announce the team at the beginning?
Yeah, if anything, it would have made more sense for you to not announce who you're facing, so that it is actually a surprise that Stevie has to face Booker.
Yeah. Ah!
Anyway, backstage, Jeff Jarrett and Steiner try to appeal to Kevin Nash, but Nash is still pissed. He's like, oh, fuck it. Fuck Russo. I don't care.
Jeff Jarrett is literally like, get over it. Like, basically says, fucking deal with it. Get over it.
Can he give that speech to Nash about trying to rehire Scott Hall?
Get over it.
We then get Stevie Ray coming out to the ring, and they're like, we don't know who he's going to face. I'm like, no, guys, it is literally 50-50. He has a microphone. He says he had a gut feeling when he came to Dallas that Russo would try to mess with him. And yeah, he's here to face my brother. Like, big dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun.
Oh, yeah. It did not help him coming out to the Harlem Heat music.
No, right?
Because his just starts with that, and Booker starts with the, don't hate the player, hate the game.
I hate it.
And then goes into that.
I hate that.
So Stevie says he will do it not for Russo, but for the people here tonight, because they're relatively local. I mean, Dallas, Houston, it's...
Yeah, that's true. Not, Texas is massive, so I really don't know the geography problem. Very well.
But like, it's Texas, yeah.
This ain't Texas. There ain't no hold'em.
You just watched WrestleMania 17, JBL has a whole... Big Texas promo.
We're in Texas. We're the Texas Texas. We're the Texas chains in Texas. Texas! Yeah, that's the whole promo.
So Booker comes out with a mic as well and says they'll do the match and tells Russo not to hate the player, hate the game.
Sure.
His promo was not necessary here.
No.
Stevie attacks Booker from behind, though. I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
Why?
He works him over with strikes. Stevie hits a scoop slam and Booker powers out of a hold, hits a running forearm. Booker hits a scissor kick and a spin-a-rooney, but Stevie catches a Harlem sidekick, which is kind of a nice spot, and hits like a pseudo side slam.
Have you ever noticed how many of like Stevie and Booker's names for moves are custom? They have so many custom move names. They've got the bookend, the slapjack, the spin-a-rooney, the Harlem sidekick. Like, everything they do has a custom name.
Yeah, but do you have another one?
I did have another one, but I can't remember it. I literally had another one.
Well, the funny thing is... And I think we may have acknowledged this before, but in WWE, Booker has the scissor kick. In WCW, they call it the axe kick.
The axe kick, yeah.
And I'm like, no, I know it is the one.
Yeah, the scissor kick.
It's kind of that Big Show giant problem.
Right. But no, it feels like these two have more custom move names than anybody else in WCW right now. Even if it is just the four that I named.
Well, Stevie tries for a slapjack, but Booker counters out. Stevie counters a bookend, but then runs into another attempt, and Booker hits it for the win. Post-match, Booker is mad at Stevie, going like, what the fuck, my guy?
Yeah, valid.
Stevie says he did it to remind Booker to like keep his guard up, and I'm
suckers
like...
Suckers gots to know.
Yes, in the words of JB, suckers would like to know. Booker and Stevie hug to end the segment, and...
Weird.
I kind of like this.
Yeah.
It makes sense to, like, fuck with Booker. I thought the match was rushed through, but, like...
I guess, yeah. I thought it was kind of boring, honestly, of the matches we've seen so far. It's, again, still good wrestling. Like, yeah. I'm trying to hone in on that for this show. Like, the in-ring wrestling so far has not been bad.
When the matches go 3 minutes, it's hard to be bad.
But we've seen it done.
Some women's triple threats still do that, but...
It can happen.
I wasn't as bothered with the explanation of, like... No, like, we're brothers, but, like, you need to fucking keep your guard up. Like, that being the explanation.
Fair.
I was more okay with that.
Okay. I think that should have played more into the psychology to go into this than to be, like, the post-explanation.
Yeah. And, I mean, there probably is also the element of Stevie thinking, like, all right, well, if you're going to get got this easily, like, you don't deserve to be in the main event.
True.
Or anything. So, frankly, that would have been kind of interesting to...
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Have Stevie actually turn heel, but I don't know. Problem is Stevie Ray just generally isn't a good wrestler.
Yeah. It's still Stevie Ray, no matter how you spin it.
I think we may or may not have talked about this back when it happened, but I was listening to something recently talking about the match of Booker T versus Big T.
Mm.
And
the Battle of the Tees.
And why the match was so bad. And apparently Big T forgot everything they talked about to do in the match. And... Booker's like says it to Stevie Ray on the outside, and Stevie Ray has to like cover his face. He starts bursting out laughing.
Oh no!
I don't think we caught that bit, but just like
the, oh no, I want to rewatch.
This dumb motherfucker forgot
Jesus
everything.
Christ.
Let's move on. We get backstage. Chronic are looking for the Harris brothers. They ask the Young Dragons, who don't understand them, so Chronic attack them. What the fuck, my guy?
Okay, racist. Again, Jamie-san understands English. We know that for a fact.
And he took the biggest fucking bump.
I
took the table bump. We get back from commercial. Three count are in the ring and are interrupted by Chronic. They come out and the bell rings. Remember that.
Mm-hmm. The bell does ring.
Chronic hit a triple high time, which I feel better about not knowing whether or not there's an S at the end of that, because Tony and Mark Madden say it differently.
They between do.
High times, yeah. And high time.
I didn't notice it in this segment, but I noticed it later.
They press slam Evan Courageous. Adams hits a full Nelson slam on Helms. They hit a meltdown to Shannon Moore. And all three of three count are thrown to the floor. Brian Adams then grabs a mic and calls out the Harris brothers.
So I guess we're done?
So I guess Jeff Jarrett comes out instead.
Sure. So fuck the match?
I see, that's the one plus side of when I've already watched it and know the confusing bullshit, just watching your reaction for when I know it's about to come.
Like, what?
For a minute, I was like, do they not have a theme? Are they just Jarrett's cronies again? And
but was this a... This wasn't a qualifying match.
Well, I know, because nobody in this match prior to this was in War Games.
Right, so this was the one that was, like, not a qualifier going into it. Because you said, like, oh, do we have any matches?
Well...
But going into it, this was not a qualifier.
Yeah, bear with me here.
I'm going to scream.
Jarrett grabs a mic, tells Chronic they can't have the Harris Brothers. I was like, well, since you were something handicap match, let's just, like, add on to that and add the cat to the mix.
Okay. So what Jarrett said coming out is, yes, that. Jarrett calls for a qualifying match. But because the match they were just doing was already a handicap match, let's keep it a handicap match. But now give Chronic the advantage?
So, yeah, it's... Chronic is now facing the cat.
It's a qualifier.
I am incredibly unclear whether or not three count are on the cat's team or not.
Oh, see, that would have made it... That would have made it more make more sense.
That's what I thought it was. But three count don't reappear during the rest of this.
They're just dead on the ground.
And to add to it, Jarrett then goes to commentary as the cat comes out. The cat gets in the ring and goes, I have no beef with you guys. Let's just go beat the shit out of Jeff Jarrett.
And I'm like, cool.
And Chronic agrees. Like, Clark is out of the ring, ready to throw hands. And the cat then rolls up Bryan Adams for a two. And I'm like, oh, well.
So fuck that, I guess.
Chronic then work over the cat as we've lost Jeff Jarrett on commentary. He's like, Mike goes out first, and then we see him get up to go after Miss Jones.
Jesus. Yeah, he just like chases her out of the arena.
Oh, right. We get a flat out barefoot and pregnant.
Oh, yeah. He's like not apologizing for hitting Miss Jones with a guitar because she shouldn't be in wrestling. She should be at home barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. He, like, that is verbatim.
Yeah, Kat holds Jeff Jarrett so Miss Jones can slap her. Chronic bring Kat back in the ring as Jeff Jarrett just chases Jones to the back. Chronic works over the cat in the ring, hits high times, pins the cat, so Chronic wins. And backstage, Russo is happy about this. Scott Steiner has to be like, you fucking idiot, I'm gonna shove my damn gas.
Yep. This doesn't make any sense, because now Chronic as the team... qualifies for War Games. But so also, now the heels have the numbers advantage.
But I cannot stress enough, Russo is happy the cat is not in the match.
Yes.
You filed an injunction. He has no booking power. You're the one who put him in the match.
Also, he hasn't been wrestling because he's been the authority power. He's never been a good wrestler, so why was he a threat?
He's probably the... I know you're not pinning anybody, but he's the least threatening out of Sting, Booker T, and Goldberg.
But we're like, got him, win. Like, what? I'm kind of on Scott Steiner's side. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, then there's a long, like, pregnant pause, and then Russo just goes...
barefoot and pregnant pause? Yeah.
Russo just puts head in the hands. And I'm like, are you figuring this out, or are you mad that Steiner left? Like, what the...
What's going on?
So, fuck three count, I guess, additionally.
Oh, yeah, that too. They're just dead, fuck
But
them.
Yeah, you are now outnumbered 5-4, yeah. And... I'd say you're outnumbered 5-3, because Russo isn't a fucking wrestler.
And you're losing Nash, because earlier he was like, what if I play for the other side?
Yeah, well, this is when commentary's like, oh, there's no teams. There's no teams.
Oh, my God. I hate it here. Why did we watch this show?
You know, it's funny. When I was watching it, I went, I don't know if this is a bad show. And I'm like, again, oh, my God, I put any amount of thought into this. Oh, Jesus.
Because you watched it separately, and then you walked in on me watching it, and I was losing my mind. I'm like, this is fucking stupid. I think that's the moment in your brain where you were like, oh, maybe it was bad. Maybe this was stupid.
Let's go to a match that should be a squash.
Should be.
It is Shane Douglas with Tori versus Goldberg. Tori grabs a mic and says, the fans make her sick and shut up.
She's like trying her hardest to do a Stephanie McMahon impression.
Yeah, it did seem like she was putting on a little bit. Because I feel like previous weeks we've had commentary be like, oh, her voice is so like shrill and terrible. And I'm like, it just sounds like Tori Wilson. Like here it sounded like she
was... This is whiny. Yeah.
She wants to get out of this stupid hellhole. and Douglas says Goldberg started something he can't finish and is interrupted by Goldberg, and Shane Douglas cowers for a bit, but the problem is we get the Lord of the Rings extended edition to Goldberg entrance.
With production commentary.
Yes, because, yeah, Peter Jackson's in on this one. Yeah. Yeah, we hear the cameraman and boom mic, the whole crew talking about, like, slow it up. Oh, watch your cable. Watch your cable.
Stay wide. Slow up. Stay wide. Slow up.
And I'm like, do we need live audio from that?
We shouldn't.
Minus the fucking him headbutting the door and the knock. Like, it's fine.
He does, like, weird grunts and breathes, which I guess is intimidating, so then I guess we would need audio. But in general, no.
Just put a fucking mic on the camera, guys. We don't need it that bad.
Yeah, that. Why do we have a boom op? Because the boom was in the shot many a time. Yeah.
Never work in this town again. But, like, Douglas cowers for a little bit, and then we actually see him, like, oh, he's not coming out here, because it's been, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Match starts. Goldberg overpowers Douglas, locks in a leg bar, but Douglas gets the ropes. Goldberg follows Douglas to the outside and throws Douglas around. Shane ducks a clothesline, sending Goldberg's arm into the ring post, and then works it over on the outside. Douglas locks in a wrist lock, and Goldberg powers out with the bad arm. Commentary's like, holy shit.
It's a good look. Looks
like,
cool.
Yeah, making him look like a badass.
Yes.
Goldberg hits a clothesline, goes for a spear, but he's attacked by the Natural Born Thrillers.
Because, of course.
DQ? Six people have run in.
We're very lax with the rules, Nick.
Emily, they have not mentioned that in, like, 3 months.
I know.
But, like, it's Mickey J. It's not even like you need a heel ref. I hate to say it. You need a heel ref.
Yeah. Get Charles Robinson back on it.
Slick Johnson's around. Like, you've literally had, hold on, and Nick Patrick. I think half the referees, like, the one ref they fucking had, it was Mickey J., has never been a heel. Oh. Like, Ginger Ruff's least incompetent, so we can write that off.
Mickey, we need to figure out what Ginger Ruff's name is.
No, fuck him. So, yeah, six men come in to attack Goldberg. This is fine.
No worries. No problem.
Goldberg takes out two on a double shoulder block. Reno is just fucking pacing behind Goldberg, waiting for his spot, because Chuck Palumbo is taking too fucking long, like, taunting, and it's like, oh, okay. So, Reno is taken out with a spinning neck breaker, and they're like, that's his move, the roll of the dice. I'm like, no, nope. Completely different moves, guys. Well, way to pay attention, though.
Well,
Palumbo is taken out with a pump handle slam. Goldberg then, and what I thought was a cool, potentially dangerous spot, though, Goldberg has above average Mike Sanders up on a press slam and sees Shane Douglas coming in with, like, a chain around his fist. So, in, like, a split second, he drops Sanders and ducks to hit Douglas with a spear. So they hit almost, like, simultaneously. I'm like, damn, that's pretty fucking
cool.
Goldberg follows up with a jackhammer and pins Shane Douglas. Tony Schiavone notes that Goldberg can now get his hands on Russo. Mark Madden freaks out, saying Tony never told him that. Tony, clearly annoyed, is like, I said it when he came out and in segment two.
Receipts.
Backstage, Russo is upset and it's like, yep, again, you put him in the match and waved the thing. Guess what? The world title shot was incentive enough. I think this is the perfect time to talk about it. I don't think Vince Russo knows what the phrase the master plan means.
Oh, yeah?
He would do this in WWE with Vince McMahon all the time, where it's like, the master plan. I'm like, your master plan involved Steve Austin winning the world title? Because that's the only way this plan works. Because again, Russo's the writer behind It's Me, Austin.
Yeah, yeah. He's had some bangers.
Yeah. So part of the master plan is Austin has to win the title so he can lose it. And it's same thing here. Like, you know what? The master plan of Russo. I'm like, why does your master plan always requires the good guys to actually, like, kind of get what they want?
Because good triumphs over evil. Master plan sounds evil. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think he knows what a master plan is.
I keep trying to give Vince Russo the benefit of all of the doubts, and I keep being proved wrong, so I think I just need to shut up.
Do I need to re-redo that segment of all the women characters?
No.
I think I do. No. If you're saying the benefit of the doubt, I need to...
In his writing in this era, yeah, I'm trying. But again, you keep pointing out that I'm wrong, so...
The problem is, he can write a good act one.
Yes.
It's everything after that.
Yeah, he can't write an ending.
Or a middle.
Or a middle. He's really good at the intro, the summaries.
So commentary recaps the last match. Backstage, Russo finds Nash. Nash says he has two things he plans to do. Walk out with his strap and make sure Russo doesn't walk out.
With his strap. He says the word strap twice.
Oh, okay. Well, the threat was, I want to win and make sure that you, like, basically die. Because he doesn't say with the strap at the same time. It was make sure you don't walk out, like, at all.
Oh, okay. I guess I misunderstood.
We then cut to Pamela Paulshock with Team Canada. Well, we cut to them visually. We don't cut into the audio for a few seconds into this segment.
Because we're outdoors now. We're no longer inside in the gym.
Where the fuck are we?
This looks like... Okay, so they're at a pool.
Yes, this looks like a fucking resort swimming pool.
Yeah, this is not a exercise pool. This is not a lap swimming
pool. Yes, because it has a 4-foot...
Yeah.
Like, deep bottom.
So, Major Guns is in this pool on her own, swimming, if you can say it that. She's staying above water. She's in a bikini. She's, like, kind of doggy paddling. I guess you can call it swimming.
Storm says this is her last test to become Canadian, and she throws a strap. Like, I don't want to be Canadian. We do see MIA in, like, the corner of the shot doing their best Saturday morning cartoon
literally
impression.
So fucking Looney Tunes, like, they can't keep getting away with this.
They're 30 feet away with binoculars. Pamela suddenly decides that
this,
like,
is too much.
I'm getting security.
You're torturing her.
Like, where are you to even get security?
This looks... I need to set the scene better because this looks delightful. Yeah. The pool looks lovely. She looks like she's having a great time, honestly. Like, I would love this.
So, Pamela goes to leave. And you know how we noted last week how, like, the perfect frame of Lance Storm about to kidnap a woman? This is the inverse of that. Because Pamela goes to leave and Lance Storm somehow, like, he almost doesn't even touch Pamela.
Lance Storm is the most respectful heel when it comes to the women. He does not lay hands on these women.
We have referenced the Lance Storm chair shot of, like, how weak. That's how much force he grabs Pamela with and just, like, taps her into the pool.
Like, I don't even want to say he yeets her in, because really she jumps and he kind of, like, spots her. So now Pamela's in the pool as well. It's all chaos.
Elix Skipper turns around, gets fucking speared into the pool.
See,
by the
that
MIA.
Was a real hit.
Well, I got worried because, like, this is a small ass pool. So he gets tackled into the pool. Lance Storm then gets thrown into the pool, taking a fucking spinning back bump.
It looked so good, though.
The Misfits in action and Team Canada brawl in the pool, and we cut away. And
this looks delightful.
This was so dumb, but I fucking love this.
I love a pool spot.
Something about the, like, the half commitment to the bit made it work.
It's so good.
Because, yeah, like, Pamela, and then the massive bump for Elix Skipper right after.
So good.
And Storm with, like, the full proper technique, mm-hmm, like, taking
beautiful.
Lands completely flat back.
Oh my God, that had to have hurt. This is great. 10 out of 10. No notes.
Where the fuck were they? Like, I cannot stress that enough.
They're probably at the hotel that the people were staying at. This was probably shot on the hotel grounds, because that's what this pool looked like. 10 out of 10, no notes. This is incredible.
You just love a pool. You love a pool. You just love a water bit.
I do love a water bit. Give me a beach. Give me a pool. Give me a 7-layer taco dip.
We're just going to find World Aquatic Wrestling.
Yes. Oh, my God. I would be wrestling in World Aquatic Wrestling. Are you kidding?
Be wow.
Wow. Can we found it?
Backstage, Russo hypes up the Natural Born Thrillers and books all of them versus Vito in a gauntlet match.
He's really trying to make us think that these guys are something.
Backstage, a visibly wet Pamela Paulshock. I'm like, good continuity.
Yes, there you go.
At least her hair was. I did not know if, like, her top or whatever else was.
Well, if you ask the person she's talking to.
Yeah, she's here with Arn Anderson, and she asked about the wedding next week, and, like, is Rick going to be there?
And then Arn responds, Pim, you look absolutely soaking wet, and that is outstanding. It's a great look for you. But then, yes.
Yeah, he'll be there. I don't get why someone who's 21 making six figures driving this wants to get married, but, like, if you're happy, I'm happy for you. I'm like, have you seen Stacey Keibler?
Yeah, you're not. Life's not going to get better for him.
Lock that down.
Lock that shit down.
Anyway, Arn Anderson says, yep, next week I'll pick up Rick and we'll be there.
Yeah. It's in Charlotte. Why not? Yeah.
This night didn't get a pop.
Which is weird, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've seen Arn in a while, too, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. We've had no reason to see him.
Exactly, yeah. He's just... There's been no reason. So I'm like, all right, I'm trying to think when the last time we would have. Yeah. And it's definitely been a while. All right, let's move into our second to last match. It is Vito versus the Natural Born Thrillers in a quote-unquote gauntlet match. Vito grabs a mic and says this place is full of good-looking Italians.
You're in Texas.
Dallas Cowboy fans are everywhere.
But they're not in... But Italians anyway. Don't go to Texas.
He says he took care of Russo last week and he gave him a concussion, which might be legit.
Yeah.
Russo does get a good amount of concussions during this time. Like, yeah. He speed runs the Bret Hart retirement, basically.
Oh, shit.
He says he doesn't know when Russo became such an asshole, but he has the biggest grapefruits in WCW sure. And calls for the Natural Born Thrillers to come out. I have learned I have an ick in wrestling.
Oh, okay.
I viscerally hate when someone comes out doing the fake whining, fake crying.
Oh, really? I don't blame you.
The live show we were at recently on Valentine's Day with The Miz making fun of LA Knight.
Did he come out crying?
The week before LA Knight, during his entrance, like, made a little statement about, like, kind of, like, men's, like, mental health and, like...
Right, yeah.
It being okay to cry. And then Miz did a fucking... The problem is it always goes on for way too long. Right. And it's like, cool, let me do this fake whining, crying for, like, 8 goddamn minutes as opposed to just, like, a line. And I'm like... Okay. So Mike Sanders comes out, fake crying. Sanders says Russo made Vito, and Sanders heels on the crowd, and Vito says that the Natural Born Thrillers are always pumping each other in the shower.
Ew, sorry? Come again? No, wait, don't. Fuck.
So then Sanders presents the gauntlet like it's some sort of like new idea and it didn't just get booked. The way he pitches it is like, how about we come down there? Like, you already are.
I didn't catch that either. I don't like Mike Sanders. And I'm realizing that he's one of those people that's turning into like a tune him out when he starts talking. He's nothing. He's such a nothing burger. A
little bit.
He's, what is his whole fucking thing?
Above average.
He's not above average. He is entirely average. 100% average Michael Sanders.
Sanders does note that like the gauntlet match, we don't do a gauntlet match one at a time. And they just come in the ring all at once. Vito fights everyone off with a stickball bat until a double big boot. Reno and Palumbo attempt a 3D, and let's not do that again, because you did not land that clean.
God, no.
They all continue to beat down Vito with strikes. Vito makes a bit of a comeback, but is taken down by Sanders. Vito is held for a diving shoulder block by Palumbo, and I was surprised he hit it, because like, that's usually the one thing they didn't want to happen.
Right, usually.
But you're in a diving move? It's like, where do you want to go? But oh, no, it worked.
Six of them on one guy.
Reno hits a knee drop. Jindrak hits a lion salt. And then we get a Shauntan bomb. Mike Sanders pins Vito for the win. Post-match, they attack Vito some more and like use the stickball bat, stomp the shit out of him. And I'm like, okay, who's going to come out to save him? We cut backstage.
Oh my god. The most devastating cut there has ever been.
Chronic, Booker T, and Sting looking fucking bored.
Yeah. Head down, not paying attention to anything, just bored.
I'm like, this is literally the group that would come out to help him.
Yeah.
And they're
they are actively not paying attention.
They could not give a fuck. Mm-mm. Also, not with them, Goldberg.
Yeah, where the hell did Goldberg go?
This was, I think, just a heat segment to try to, like, make you think the Natural Born Thrillers were kind of legitimate. Because
maybe
they keep getting bitched out. Every now and then you need to have them do something to be a threat. So War Games is next. But first, we get Pamela Paulshock backstage with Stinger, Booker, and Chronic. No one really says much a note. And Tony Schiavone does, like, note, like, where is Goldberg? What's going on with this?
Good question.
Not important. Doesn't really matter,
but good question. Thanks for asking.
So that brings us to War Games 2000, Russo's Revenge.
Strap the fuck in.
So.
Oh my god, I didn't realize how many notes I have on this.
The way a War Games match normally works.
Yeah.
Two people start. You have timed intervals for additional entrance. Mm-hmm. It's one from each team alternating. Mm-hmm. And then once everyone is in, it is the match beyond. And then, depending on what company it is, you can win by pinfall, submission, or requires surrender, which is a fancy word for submission.
Okay.
This match, two people start. The order of entrance is random.
So it's more like Elimination Chamber vibes.
And you can win it anytime.
Yeah.
The only goal is to get the title from the top of the triple decker cage down, bring it all the way to the floor and walk through the door.
Yes.
Which I appreciate, because I feel like I remember some match like this of us being like, all right, can you win by, we must have done one of these. So I'm like, can you win by climbing down the side, or do you have to?
We'll have to go back and look, because I do remember that conversation, but what it match
wasn't,
was that?
It wasn't a title match, I remember.
Anyway.
But so the teams here are Jeff Jarrett, Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, and Vince Russo versus Sting, Booker T, Bryan Adams, Brian Clark, and Goldberg, but there's no teams.
Right. And it's definitely not the babyfaces versus the heels.
Yeah. Because again, anyone can win this match by taking the title out. So really, it shouldn't be teams. It should just be like, there's alliances, but...
Yeah, alliances would be a great word to use for this.
I think they just say teams because it needs to make sense for you to help somebody else win the title.
I guess, yeah.
So yeah, they are doing the timed entrance. Jeff Jarrett comes out first wearing more protection than usual for the cage.
Lots of pads. I don't blame him though. I mean, it's metal, so.
We go to commercial after Jarrett. Well, it's not metal. And we'll get to that in a second. So Sting is the second man out. Commentary notes, like, you can win immediately, basically making this match null and void for everybody else.
Yeah, so why didn't they both just run in and get to the top? Why wouldn't you do that?
I guess Jarrett's not trying to win for himself.
Why not?
I don't know.
Why not?
Yeah, that's the problem. Is like the faces, well, three of the faces kind of want to actually win the title. Chronic could give a fuck.
Are you going by real face yes, and heel? Yeah. Okay, not the teams. Okay, so the faces to you are Booker, Chronic, Goldberg.
Yeah, the actual faces.
Sting, okay.
Yeah, it's like three of them actually want the title. I think Chronic couldn't care less. But yeah. With the heels, I'm like, yeah, does any, like, where did Jeff and Steiner, like, fall in this?
Yeah, because Russo definitely wants it. Nash wants to keep it. Like, I would assume Jeff Jarrett wants to win it again, and I would assume that Scott Steiner would like to win it.
Sting throws Jarrett into the very flimsy cage that, like, actually bumps into the camera at one point.
This is not a secure spot.
And they show a close-up to the cage, and I'm like, it's the, like, you know, it's the chain link. It's the rubber in, like, enforced kind, and they just spray painted the it's usually green. They painted it black.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, it is a completely soft rubber cage.
Yeah. So not devastating.
No.
Jeez.
No one's going to get cut by accident here.
Then why is Jeff Jarrett all padded up?
To emphasize? I don't know.
He is a showman.
Sting brings a ladder into the ring and throws Jarrett into it twice. And then we get entrant number three in this match. It's Scott Steiner in a, like, face guard.
Yeah, I forgot that he broke his orbital bone because he was in segments earlier and didn't have, like, a face mask on. But he's very, like, dashing Cody Rhodes here with the face mask.
He's more... Oh, fuck, what year is it? He's more Trish Stratus because it's not the cool, like, complete face one. It's, like, bunch of bandages over the nose. Doesn't make him look cool.
Yeah, no, he doesn't look cool at all.
But Steiner stops Sting climbing to the second level. Jarrett and Steiner hit ladder shots to a hanging Sting. Like, he's just grabbing to, like the top of the cage. And they keep hitting with the ladder. I'm like, drop, dude.
I refer to this as Sting is getting hit pinata style.
Pretty
they
much.
They kind of, like, are just swinging the ladder at him to knock him down.
Like, just drop, my guy. Like,
yeah, just drop.
Yeah, what was... You weren't going to climb
What's
off that
What's the
goal
anyway. Here? Yeah.
Steiner hits a press slam to Sting and then sets up the ladder. Steiner hits his flexing elbow and the two work over Sting instead of trying to climb up. Entrant number four is somehow both of Chronic.
Yeah, they enter together. Sure. Fuck it. Whatever. I don't fucking care.
Scott Steiner climbs to level two. He grabs bolt cutters to unlock the door and, like, somehow still struggles.
So... is that a thing? Are the doors locked?
Sometimes. I mean, oh, again, this is now War Games is a single level cage where if you leave, you're like, you're disqualified.
Yeah.
This is not
this
War
is
Games.
Not War Games.
He also then, like, throws the bolt cutters up to the next level. I don't think that comes into play at any point.
No, it doesn't.
Chronic take out Jeff Jarrett, meets Steiner on the second level, and this is where we see how much the cage up there sags in the middle. Because they don't have any, like, center support beam. They have, it's about the size of the ring. It's like a 20 by 20 square of just chain link fence. Yeah.
Yeah. There is no support. It's very much like that.
The uncensored cage.
The uncensored cage. I kept wanting to say SummerSlam. The uncensored cage. Where
the Doomsday,
like,
cage.
Holding on to the sides where there's might be a little bit of support.
They at least had, like, vertical support to grab onto.
Yeah. They did have a beam in the center.
So I bring Arn Anderson being in full sweats for that. Like,
yeah.
Not even, like, I'm not taking the... Because that was probably actually chain link.
Probably.
Chronic gets Steiner up for a double press slam in that level and then just drop him onto their knees. Because I'm like, I think that might have broken if you had attempted to.
It was kind of a high time, but like...
Not really.
Not really.
It was a buzz time.
It was a tipsy time.
Then we get entrant number 5. It's Vince Russo coming out with the Harris Brothers. They are not in the match. They just can interfere freely.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, they're not in the match. So I was like, okay, they're staying outside the cage. But no, they immediately scale the cage and they're up on the second level. And it's just part of the match now. Beating people up.
Russo just kind of stands in the ring and the Harris boys climb up the cage, brawl with Chronic as, like, there is a mounted camera in the little, like, second level cage. It has some sort of auto aperture feature on it.
Mm-hmm.
It gets so dark that at certain points, I literally cannot see what's happening.
Yeah.
And then it'll cut to somebody else's camera and it'll look absolutely fine. And I'm
it's
like,
just that camera.
Like, oh, it's not a glare or anything. No, it is literally just something auto on that camera getting dark. While they're brawling in the dark that I can't see, Sting hits a scorpion deathlock on Jeff Jarrett. No one cares.
No.
Chronic and the Harris Brothers just trade weapon shots. And then we see Sting hitting Russo with a Stinger Splash and locks him in a scorpion deathlock. Mm-hmm. So, like, Sting is getting the revenge that Goldberg wants here.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw it, but in the Scorpion Deathlock, something falls out of Vince Russo's pocket.
Oh, no, I didn't.
It's
a blade?
It's handcuffs.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well.
They accidentally telegraphed that spot.
Well, there's lots of handcuffs.
Similar to Kevin Owens' Elimination Chamber. Just pops right out of the pocket.
Just losing his blade. Oh, fuck.
I'm like, yeah, I don't think we're supposed to see those yet. Entrant number 6. They break the alternating heel-face thing. It's Kevin Nash. Nash gets in the ring, helps Steiner up, but is hit with a Stinger Splash. Nash chokeslams Sting and goes to chokeslam Russo, but Scott Steiner and Jeff Jarrett talk him out of it. Chronic and the Harris boys are just kind of brawling in the crowd. We didn't see them climb down or fucking nope. anything. They're just somewhere in the arena at this point.
What?
And they clearly had no plan here because, like, fuck, we need to kill time until Booker comes out. So Kevin Nash then threatens to chokeslam, like, basically every one of his teammates, one by one.
Yeah.
Until Booker T's music hits.
Trying to just telegraph, like, I'm not with you guys. Like, I'm on my own here. Fuck you guys.
Yes, but notably, he's not actually doing anything.
Right.
Booker is entrant number 7. He hits a scissor kick to Jeff Jarrett, then another one to Steiner. Russo hits Booker, so Booker hits a scissor kick to him, and then a spin-a-rooney. Nash big boots Booker, and Jeff Jarrett gets a ladder in the ring as Nash and Russo focus on Sting. As we're getting the final countdown timer for the final entrant, Nash, like, casually tries to, like, powerbomb Vince Russo, but it happens so quick that, like, no one even notices it.
Yeah, no one mentions it. No one, like, there's no focus put on that spot.
So our final entrant, it's Bill Goldberg. Goldberg cleans house until a single baseball shot from Vince Russo puts him out of commission for, like, 8 minutes.
Meanwhile, nobody's really making progress up the cage. There's nothing really going on the second or third level at this point.
Yes. Well, Jarrett, Steiner, and Russo handcuff Goldberg to the ropes as Nash is just camping by the door because you have to get out to win.
So he's like, all right, go get the belt and I'll just beat you up right here.
Steiner, Booker, Jarrett, and Sting then all finally start climbing up. And then in the second level, they just have some nothing weapon brawling. Booker eventually actually manages to get to the top.
Yeah.
And after a long while, grabs the title down. Tony Schiavone is like, the crowd's going to be excited here because they think he won. But no, you have to bring it all the way down. Like,
don't telegraph that the audience has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
You're burying yourself.
Not a good sign for the match. And the crowd does pop because, like, that's how this match has worked the other time you did it.
Yes.
It only exists the other way because you want to do a swerve.
Exactly. Although I will say it is smart of Kevin Nash to be sitting at the door camping. Like, yeah, you're not a working champion. Don't work.
Well, that and Kevin Nash doesn't want to climb all the way to the top.
Yeah, why would he?
I'm saying if that was the goal to win the match.
He doesn't want to do it.
So Booker then starts trying to fight his way down. Mark Madden makes a rare good point of, like, if you put the title on, you'll actually have a better look.
I had the same thought, Mark. Yeah. He didn't put the title around his waist, so he's trying to climb down basically one-handed, which... Yeah. Fails, so he drops. So, oh my god. So he's climbing down from the third to the second level. He drops the belt next to Jeff Jarrett. Why would Jeff not immediately hop down, grab the belt, hit Booker with it? Why wouldn't he do that? Instead, he just stays on the fencing trying to climb up. Where are you going, man? Jump down. The belt, your goal is there, right? It's next to your foot. Jump down. Grab it.
Booker,
but he doesn't.
Booker hits Jarrett and Steiner with the belt. Mark Patton's like, oh, what a good guy he is using a weapon.
Well.
So, yeah, while that's happening, though, we just see Sting standing there. Like, what is he doing? Like, oh, he's handcuffed.
Yeah, turns out he is handcuffed to the second cage. And there are, like, four other pairs of handcuffs on the cage ready to be utilized at any point. I don't know how we missed that on the way up.
Jarrett kills Booker with a fucking guitar shot.
Oh, my God.
And then they handcuff Booker to the cage. So, literally, every one of the face team is either no longer in this match or handcuffed.
Yes.
Goldberg is still mostly down.
Yeah, he's still, like, on the ground in the first level. So, Jarrett is still in the second level with the two others handcuffed. So, he can take the title and move down with it. Steiner grabs the belt, throws it down to the bottom area, and Russo grabs it.
Yeah, Russo taunts Goldberg. And then we get Ernest the Cat Miller running out, and he fucking kicks Russo's head off. And you can see him make contact.
He's not in the match.
Yeah. He just comes out.
Yeah. But yeah, he does not hold back. I think there's a little bit of pent-up rage there.
Yeah, we couldn't tell if there was broken plastic from the kick or just stuff from, like, the guitar and weapons.
I think it was the guitar.
Yeah. But Russo's down. Kevin Nash jackknifes the cat. It was kind of scary because you can't get the cat all the way up because the second level of the cage
is there.
Is too low.
So the cat takes this jackknife really sloppily, like, in a way that I'm like, you could have really hurt yourself here.
Goldberg stands up and just pulls his arm and just breaks the chain of the handcuffs.
So fucking cool. Yeah, that was sick.
That's the fucking problem is every now and again they get it.
Yes.
So
you want to make Goldberg look like an absolute unstoppable badass? There you go.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Busts out of the handcuffs, basically kills everybody, blocks a bat shot from Russo, punches Russo in the face, grabs the title, taunts with it for a little too long. And then
finally makes his way to the door.
Goes through the door, and we see someone pushing a cameraman out of the way and then slamming the door in Goldberg's face. And Emily, who is it?
Fucking Bret Hart!
Yeah, because we saw him last night, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it entirely makes sense.
They didn't fucking mention that, like, at all.
No, they did not mention that at all. So Bret slams the cage door in Goldberg's face, knocking him out again.
Well, actually, technically, no. He just stumbles. We have to kind of see Scott Steiner comes up behind, hits Goldberg with a pipe.
Oh, okay. I did not see that. Yeah, I thought the cage hit him and he knocked out.
Well, that's the way it should be. It just, no, it takes more than that. So Goldberg is out. They bring Goldberg in the ring, put him in the Steiner recliner. Russo then grabs the title. Nash stops him. And when everything is about to come to a head, they hug. Swerve, the people you thought were together were actually together this whole time. It's literally the same fucking Swerve as last week. It's the same thing. It's just, it was Jarrett last week and Nash this week. So, hey, next week, get ready because Steiner's going to fucking, oh, maybe I'm not with the group.
Yep.
Swerve, bro. So they all count down from three, step out together. Kevin Nash, still your WWE champion. Jesus Christ, this was overbooked before the overbooked ending.
I'm mad at myself.
I know.
Sincerely mad at myself because this is episode 128.
Yes.
I should have seen this coming.
You should know better.
I 100% should have known better. But no, I let myself get excited. I actually thought that Kevin Nash was growing some balls and was like, actually, no, fuck you. My title.
Emily, he turned heel a week and a half ago and then was like, remember, he's the puppet master.
Why am I surprised and then let myself get mad every single time? What is wrong with me as a person? Now I just feel dumb. I leave this show feeling like I'm a fucking idiot.
Like, you already had the surprise of Bret Hart coming out. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why you needed the fucking dissension. It literally didn't add to anything.
I think it's
this match is the exact same minus the hug.
Yeah.
I think
I let myself get excited that they might have actually done something different this time.
No.
Why do we do this show? I never leave feeling good.
That said, this is not a good Nitro.
But it is an entertaining Nitro.
I think if you're looking at the final year of WCW, I don't think we've said this before, this is essential viewing.
Yeah.
This is like mandatory for you to understand what's going on with Nitro in 2000.
That's fair, actually.
Like, this is the perfect summation of everything going right and wrong with the company at the same time.
This is exactly what they wanted to happen, which is a damning accusation almost.
Yeah. Minus the first match, anything go over, and the main event, did anything go over 5 minutes? Like the entire middle of it? Like, it's just, hey, let's go a long way to basically do the match we already announced and then have that be an overbooked, complicated fucking mess. Yeah. That confuses the audience at home and in the crowd.
Yeah.
Because we're going to revive a brand of a match that has nothing to do with this, but you know it, so it's a ratings play. It's closer to this other thing, but the rules are different.
Yeah.
So people pop when that happens, but that's not the finish. And then...
swerve, bro.
False swerve.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you, Vince Russo.
This whole episode...
Why are you still giving the benefit of the doubt? How dare you?
I don't know, because I'm trying to see the good in people, I guess. I don't know. The world fucking sucks. Somebody has to be the good guy.
Lance Storm.
Fuck. He's Canadian.
Yeah, all of his training with Major Guns has a 25% tariff on it.
This whole episode can be surmised as fucking flash and trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what it was. The beginning of this episode was giving me a headache, legitimately. There were so many strobing lights. Everything happened so quickly. You can't focus on anything as it's happening because the next thing is already come and gone. So you have to, you try taking notes on one of these episodes, guys. It's not easy because you have to focus on what's happening while also write it down, but also make sure that you're not missing what's happening next because it's all happening at once.
Yeah, you do have to pause often.
So many times.
When it's like, okay, a kick was hit, but that means I have to write four sentences about all the implications of that kick.
Quite honestly, we were worried about the commercial breaks. The commercials are a fucking blessing.
Yeah. And by the way, this is all to say nothing of, I'm going to watch Thunder. This is the last time you're going to see Bret Hart.
That's true. Finally. Yeah. I feel like we've said goodbye to him so many times.
I mean, we said goodbye when he actually stopped wrestling. Yeah. He popped back in for that weird I might face Hulk Hogan like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then he's popped back up in the desert he popped back in at New Blood Rising first and then the desert.
Right. I just like, I don't know how to feel at this point. Like, I guess I'm happy that Brett is gone because that means he's not part of this garbage anymore. But he was also already gone in my mind. Like, I don't know how to feel about this episode as a whole. I feel icky. I feel stupid.
We've talked about reviewing it, but I need to show you Bret Hart's post 9/11 promo in WWA. Because like that's the next thing he does.
Oh well, yeah, because it's only a year away.
Yeah, because he gets fired in like October, I want to say, and he doesn't go to WWE, so he shows up in WWA, and
then 9/11 happens.
Yeah, and he does a whole thing about like, I was stuck in Australia. You people were very good to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud.
It's a weird promo. I don't know if we're going to ever do WWA. We've kind of talked about it, but...
Yeah, we always dabble with, like, what's next. We've got a lot to go still, somehow.
Yes. We still have about 18 months.
Of us doing the podcast, not of Nitro existing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk in 18 months about what's next.
It may be shorter because of... we need a plan for what's next in the Patreon, and that may inform what we
do. True. Oh, my God. I can't even think about what's next when that's what we just watched. I just feel duped. I feel bamboozled. I feel hoodwinked. I feel stupid.
Speckledorfed.
We've been speckledorfed.
It's not been a word, and I agree with you. Well, Emily, do you have your answers yet, or do you need a minute to think about it?
No, I don't have an answer. I don't. I have a best bit. I don't have an MVP because up until the very last second, Kevin Nash was my MVP.
All right, well, let's attempt to go through it and see if anything sparks joy. Let's go into best bit, worst bit, and MVP. And all right, Emily, you said you have your best bit. What do you have?
I think it's the same best bit as yours. I fucking love a pool segment, and it looked delightful. So I'm giving it to Lance Storm and Major Guns and the whole cast at the pool.
Yeah, I think that was just a good bit of comedy. And
It was
a good bit of comedy so much that I'm like, I don't even know how much you intended this to be the good bit of comedy it is. But
It was light. It was a little bit of levity outside of the bullshit that was going on in the ring.
All right, Emily, what is your worst bit?
Probably the main event.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was so messy and the ending made me feel gross. Yeah, I think it's the main event.
While the main event was stupid, a lot of it was kind of clear. I'm going with the match that we don't even know what actual match it was. I'm just going to mark it as Chronic's match.
Oh, sure.
Because who did they face, Emily? Who did Chronic face in their match?
I guess... By the end of it, it was the cat?
Yeah, I shouldn't be able to watch a match and be unclear about who was on one side of the match.
Who participated.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chronic's match. Would that be against Three Count? Because, by the way, if it was against Three Count, fuck you for just burying Three Count.
Oh, 100%.
And in general, fuck you for that. But
yes.
Yeah, and then the weird, let's go beat up Jeff Jarrett. No, I'm going to roll you up, and then you lose, and... Oh, they won, but that's actually worse for you.
Nothing made sense.
Which brings us to MVP. I'm an MVP to someone who looked good in their first match, had a really fucking cool moment in the second match. I think Goldberg is back to feeling like Goldberg.
I agree. That's who I picked. I literally looked back in my note for the handcuff. I didn't even write down handcuffs. I just wrote, oh shit. And that's cool. Yeah. That was a cool moment.
And in his match earlier, he killed fucking six guys, and like it felt right. It's not him beating Bray Wyatt where it's like, fuck this. Like, no,
he
beat up Shane Douglas and the Natural Born Thrillers. Like, it's a bunch of people in over their head where it makes sense. And then, you know, did the whole fucking Bane Venom, you know, Venom up and killed everybody in the main event and then got screwed by Bret Hart.
Classic.
So, yeah, I think Goldberg, it's still salvageable. I cannot believe they don't put the fucking title on him at any point. Like
it's such a lost opportunity.
Yeah. How?
Not even a miss, just lost.
It is still wild to me that it's like, oh yeah, no, he won it like the two times and that's it.
Vince Russo, Kevin Nash, all the other people that are like at the top in the echelon, whatever, they're so selfish in both production and character. Like, why would they give it to Goldberg?
I think Kevin Nash legitimately is a 4 or 5-time WCW champion. Mm. Emily, we saw him win his first championship.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I literally cannot tell you anything. Well, I can tell you one thing Kevin Nash has done as champion, and it was him doing the finger poke of doom with Hogan. Like, outside of that, I cannot remember a single moment of him being champion.
Yeah. No, he didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, it was always just like the, I have it for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yeah, this was some weird show.
Because it was not bad, but it wasn't good.
It was bad, but it was entertaining. It was
That's the thing.
I said I was sports entertained, and I sure was.
That's as good of a praise as we can give them, because I feel like that's their goal. So again, I think they achieved their goal, whatever that means for them.
Well, next week, we'll have to be sports entertained by the wedding of David Flair and Stacey Keibler, or Miss Hancock, depending on how they're feeling.
Yeah, it depends on which way the wind's blowing that day.
Oh, but until the wedding episode, you can listen to all of our back catalog everywhere podcasts are found, except for SoundCloud.
You can also follow us on all of our social media. Everywhere, it's Butts in the Seats, Butts in the Pod, some iteration of that across the board.
Yeah.
We're on Blue Sky. I'm trying to like fully transition us off of X into Blue Sky. I'm still posting on Twitter X, but that's where I'm trying to move all of our content to.
Yeah, admittedly, we've been slacking a bit, but if you want to know when episodes come out and don't have notifications on for the actual
the podcast apps and all that,
that's a good way to kind of see it.
That's true.
And then we have our, I guess, multi-mentioned Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon.com/buttsintheseats. $5 a month gets you about 30 episodes at this point. We are nearing the end of our TNA watch through. As mentioned before, we're going to do All Aboard the Lex Express at some point
soon. Hell yeah, brother!
Recently announced over there, we will be doing our first ever book report for Controversy Creates Cash.
Yes.
That'll be out.
Reading this book and regaling you with the tales.
That'll be out the Monday after WrestleMania 41.
Oh, good. So I'll be sitting with that whilst watching WrestleMania. That's fun.
Well, you'll be editing that.
Yeah, it'll be in my... It'll be sitting with me in some way, shape, or form.
Which, congrats to the Total Package on being into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah! It was a very beautiful little moment with him and DDP with Cody Rhodes. I liked it. I think it's going to be very sweet.
Emily, any closing thoughts before... We have one Nitro left and then Fall Brawl, where it's the shot. So we're almost there.
God, I need it. Let's go take a shot right now.
And Emily, Controversy Creates Cash is also episode 30.
Oh, you know, yeah.
That's literally going to line up because Fall Brawl is right before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that's the one right after. Jesus.
Yeah. Thank God.
But until all the shot shenanigans, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Meh.